Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president. And I'm asking you today to be part of an unprecedented grassroots campaign of 1 million active volunteers in every state in our country. Our campaign is not only about defeating Donald Trump, the most dangerous president in modern American history. It is not only about winning the Democratic nomination and the general election. Our campaign is about transforming our country and creating a government based on the principles of economic, social, racial, and environmental justice.
Is that his theme song?
He went big. A million volunteers per state for his campaign. That's a lot of folks.
Didn't he raise $1 million like in the first hour?
Are there a million people in Rhode Island?
I don't know.
That's big. So Bernie's in.
Bernie's in. What are we up to now? How many?
He seems pretty fired up.
They're like, what, 12 dozen Democrats running?
We're about there. So Bernie's in. No surprise there. But, and Bernie had great luck being an old man galvanizing the youth vote, galvanizing a lot of young people. He has defied odds in many, many ways.
Giving hope to old guys everywhere, Jor.
Yeah.
He's what? He's 78?
70. Who would be 79 if elected in 2020. So 77 maybe. Yeah, somewhere in there. So he's, again, we don't do math on the show.
We don't do math. No.
But that would be Bernie. And he was asked on, what was I watching this morning, CBS this morning, about his age. And he said, you know, I've been blessed with good health and good energy. You see some 90-year-olds, you know, running marathons. And then you see some 50-year-olds falling asleep at the wheel. So that's Bernie.
He said, in fact, he was asked if he should step aside for a fresh batch of contenders. He's 77, by the way. Bernie replied, quote, "We have to look at candidates, you know, not by the color of their skin, not by their sexual orientation or their gender, and not by their age." So, ageism is a real thing.
Right.
And look, shouldn't be discriminating based on age.
Energy and the stamina for the job. You know, President Trump is getting up there, and he's got tons of energy. He's everywhere. Mm-hmm. He's going to rallies, doing all sorts of stuff. So he's got lots of energy. But I was proud as I watched CNN's town hall last night with Don Lemon, who I used to work with at Fox News.
You have some Don Lemon
New York
stories?
City. I do have Don Lemon stories, but they are really old. I'd have to go way in the way back machine and remember.
That's okay.
What they were, because we used to go drinking after the 10 o'clock news at Fox 5 in New York City. Anyway, I digress.
Okay.
Amy Klobuchar, and he said he got a deep dive immersion lesson on how to pronounce her name, Klobuchar. He said some people say Klobuchar, but most of us say Klobuchar. So Amy Klobuchar on the CNN town hall, I thought she performed magnificently. And I'm the one who said she shouldn't run. We should save her for another time.
Save her?
We should save her because I, again, having lost all faith in the American electorate, do believe that President Trump really has a shot at getting reelected, which hurts my stomach to say. But it absolutely is a real thing. It could happen in 2020.
Jordina, if it's the will of the people,
that's what I mean. It will happen. Yeah. So.
And here's the thing. Let me mention that Amy is going to be on with Dave Lee tomorrow morning at 7:20.
What a get.
To the best of my knowledge. So please tune in for that for the very latest.
I have guest envy that he's going to be able to talk to her, but that's great. We will be tuning in. We'll grab some clips and we'll play it here on the show. But Amy really did a great job in, I think, expressing her opinion, I think representing Minnesota, I think presenting herself as a moderate, which is the pushback that I'm hearing about today. It's all over CNN. Well, she's too moderate. She's too middle of the road. She's too down to earth. She's too common sense. They say the party of Democrats is all left. It's all Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's like a tongue twister, and I can't say
it
fast.
It's a tough one.
It's all Bernie.
AOC.
Yeah, there you go. AOC. It's all Bernie. And they say she is not left enough for the party of Democrats.
I don't know. I think a lot of Republicans clap their hands with glee when they see what's happening right now with Democrats taking this apparent swerve to the left, you know, whether it's universal health care, free public college for everybody.
What Elizabeth Warren said for universal child care until they're five now. That's $7 billion a year, I believe. So I can see why the Republicans like the way the Democratic Party is going. But Amy defied that. Yesterday she talked about, here's what she said when she talked about Medicare for all.
Well, I think it's something that we can look to for the future, but I want to get action now. And I think the best way we do that is something that we actually wanted to do back when we were looking at the Affordable Care Act and we were stopped, was trying to get a public option in there. Mm-hmm. And that is a way, if you all remember that debate, that is a way to provide a public alternative that's real, even beyond the exchange.
Oh, I cut her off, but she was talking about a public alternative that's real. She's not talking about things that are so pie in the sky that we can't possibly grasp. She's talking about change that can actually be made in 4 or 8 years.
And I was impressed, too. Again, I don't know if America is ready for full frontal socialism. I don't think so. I may
they're
be
not.
Wrong.
No, they're not. Nobody is. Well, many people aren't.
Well, but a lot of people realize that the current system is not benefiting enough people. I mean, income inequality, wealth inequality, the clumping of wealth that we see right now. I think Americans believe in the American dream. As long as it applies to everybody.
That's right.
If you suddenly say, well, the American dream only applies to 1, 2, or 3% of the population, then all bets are off. So I think more than any time I can remember, you know, talk of socialism and talk of a wealth tax for people making $50 million or worth $50 million. I mean, that stuff resonates. It didn't resonate 10, 20 years ago.
I also don't agree that socialism and a wealth tax of people that are worth $50 million and over are the same thing. Those
no,
are exclusive
no, those are
ideals.
Two different things.
Correct.
But these are some of the things being bandied about in order to pay for some of these programs.
And then we hear things like, she just mentioned healthcare, but we hear, you know, free college. Yeah, great. The Bernie got a lot of play for free college. So, yes, while that's great and pie in the sky and expensive, here's how Amy commented on that. And we took a step back and we thought, oh, well, maybe that's a path toward being reasonable and a path toward help for student debt and not paying for it all. This is what Amy had to say on free college.
I am not for free 4-year college for all, no. If I was a magic genie and could give that to everyone and we could afford it, I would. I'm just trying to find a mix of incentives and make sure kids that are in need, that's why I talked about expanding Pell Grants, can go to college and be able to afford it.
I kind of want her to be a magic genie, but if she can't be, there's a plan. There's a middle of the road. It's not just, you know, free college, which, yeah, would be great if we didn't have to pay for it, but there's a way to do it.
I still think there's a place for pragmatic, middle of the road, common sense. And I don't know. I think Senator Klobuchar can peel away a lot of independents. Mm-hmm. And even some moderate Republicans. And so can, in theory, so can Bernie. I mean, you're not feeling the burn?
Here's the deal. I'm not feeling the burn because I think, like, the AOCs of the world have taken it too far left. And who knows? Maybe that's the future of the Democratic Party. But if that is, then I'm seeing a three-party system coming up real quick. Because there's a lot of registered Democrats like me that are not on board with that. And although I don't think a wealth tax is a bad idea, there is, like, the Amy way. The moderate way, the maybe we can't do universal college for all, but we can get those in need at least an associate's degree. We can help pay for 2 years of college for some and then have a plan for them to pay off the next two. There are steps that can be taken. So if the Democratic Party is set on moving way to the left, that we're all going to be living on kibbutzim, you know, like they do in Israel, where everyone is paid the same and everyone eats at long tables, which is great for Israel, then I think there's going to be a third party that evolves that's down the middle.
Trump was the reaction to Obama. What is the reaction to President Trump? Is it moderation? In which case you could make the argument for Amy Klobuchar. If the reaction to Trump, and by the way, there was nothing moderate or conciliatory about President Trump's campaign. It was pretty much in your face.
Absolutely.
I mean, he wasn't necessarily looking for common ground. He was speaking to those people who have not participated in the upside, who feel like the system is rigged. Some of the same things that Bernie's been talking about for a long time. Oh, it's going to be an interesting ride, Jor.
Absolutely. I promise we'll revisit this in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll take your calls, see how you thought Amy did, see if there's any more fallout. She's kind of getting killed for being a moderate, and I think that criticism is completely unwarranted. When we return, I'm so tired of saying the word snowmageddon on the air. Can we pretend the snow is not coming?
Snow-nado.
Snowpocalypse.
You don't have to say snowmageddon the whole time. I've got 3 other terms on there for you, so we're going to get through them all here.
Alas, my friends, I'm in despair.
Oh, come on. It's just frozen water. It's not nuclear fallout. It's not volcanic ash. There are no earthquakes tomorrow. Frozen water. I know. Yeah, stand in line.
321, Snowmageddon, next.
Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
I don't hate you. I love you, but I'm done.
You love to hate me.
I am. I kind of. And I'm not a complainer. I like snowboarding.
Wait. Back that up.
I know. I'm not
Back
a complainer.
That up. Did you hear that, Dan?
I guess I'm complaining about
she
this.
She said, I'm not a complainer.
But I like the snow. I like.
You're like what they call a hysterical female.
Well, maybe I'm hysterical. But I generally don't complain about the snow because I like snowboarding. I like, you know, I like winter. We should have winter.
I thought you liked winter. Now you've turned on winter.
I liked winter as of last week, and now I'm done.
You like winter when it serves your needs.
Thank you,
when
next.
When it fits within your schedule,
that's right.
It doesn't inconvenience you.
Because I'm pretty sure those kids are going to be home in my house tomorrow, and Mama's still going to have to work.
Is that what it is?
Is it the snow day tomorrow?
We're going to wake up to 2 inches. I think some of the wimpier school districts will, in fact, cancel.
Is that how they're
And you know who you are.
Defined?
I don't know. I don't know. Every district has a different criteria. Again, I can't predict who's going to throw that switch, but I think we'll wake up to 2, maybe 3 inches, and heaviest snow is going to be morning and midday when it's going to snow at the rate of an inch an hour. Mm-hmm. I think the drive-in and the drive-home will be something of a gong show tomorrow, but it's going to be 25, 26, 27 degrees. As I've
That's
been
nice.
Saying ad nauseum now for a few days, when it's in the mid-20s, at least MnDOT has a shot at keeping the roads wet and slushy, especially the freeways. It's not like when it's 8 degrees or 10 degrees, when everything is snow-covered, you can't get the ice off the roads. So is it going to be slower than usual? Yeah. Is it the end of the world? Is it snowmageddon, snowpocalypse? No.
I feel better.
4 to 8 inches. And I'm thinking right around 6 inches of snow for most of us. And we're going to get through it.
What about after this?
More snow. But wait,
there's more. I
deserve
that for asking.
Yeah. How do you like your snow? We get a break on Thursday. Friday, some light snow or flurries. Another shot coming in Saturday night into Sunday morning. But the European model, which I kind of defer to, look at all of them, but the European is less wrong. More often. So, and that keeps it just south and east of us. A bigger deal for Rochester, La Crosse, Eau Claire, and Madison, but we just get skimmed, grazed Saturday night. Could be a few more inches Saturday night, Sunday morning, but it's going to stay chilly into at least the first week of March.
Well, what's chilly?
20s?
Okay, well, that's okay. I mean, this morning?
Above?
The dog nearly froze mid-pee.
Ooh.
And
That's
husband.
Dangerous.
Yeah, he's trying to call her in, and she's moving slower. You know, like the Tin Can Man in Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
you know, the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz. As he starts to rust mid walk or mid dance, that was like the dog. The poor thing is going slower as she is accumulating snow in her belly and realizing that it's 2 below. So poor little thing is freezing out there. He didn't have to rescue her. She made it back, but he had to warm her up.
And she looks up at you with that, what the?
Right. Why do we live here?
Yeah, that
expression.
Why do
we not
live
in Arizona? I could be peeing in the desert right now.
Yeah, but Arizona, you know, let's talk to the Arizonans in July and August. So there is no place with perfect weather. This is our snow and cold tax. Because of this, our population is only 5 million, give or take. Otherwise, it would be 15 million or 20 million. It would be a mess out there. So anyway, it's 4 to 8 tomorrow. We are going to set a record. All we need is 4 inches, And that would get us up to 26.5, which would set a record for the snowiest February on record. Kind of unusual to see so much snow in February. We have three fewer days than January and March. So it's rare that February is the snowiest month of the winter. But at the rate we're going, I think that's a pretty sure bet.
And just a reminder, it's starting around midnight tonight?
Yeah, after midnight, I think we'll wake up to 2 or 3. Heaviest in the morning and midday tomorrow. Most of it over by 4 or 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
And again, looking ahead to March, we'll see our first 40s and 50s.
Yes.
We'll probably see our first thunderstorm by late March. Severe thunderstorm somewhere in southern Minnesota. So when it changes, it may flip really fast. But yeah, whatever snow is in your yard tomorrow is still going to pretty much be there March the 7th. So you've got a week or two to play in it and more time to get out and do some snowboarding.
That's true.
Jordana?
That's true. The weekend
you don't have
coming.
To go to Colorado. Stick around.
Oh, right here. We can go to Afton.
Best snow in the country.
Absolutely.
Right here.
Governor Tim Walz has unveiled his budget plan. 20-cent gas tax increase phased in over 2 years. So what does Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka think of that? Find out when we get back from the break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Governor Walz unveiled his new budget plan, $49 billion budget plan. It includes a 20-cent gas tax increased, phased in over 2 years. Those taxes to the gas tax would add $11 billion over 10 years to fund transit, road and bridge improvements. That is according to the governor. Let's find out what's going to happen according to our next guest. Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka is joining us now to talk us through some of these budget proposals. Senator Gazelka, welcome to the program.
Hey, Senator.
Hey, good to be on the show.
We've heard you say the gas tax is a non-starter for you. Do you still maintain that position?
Yeah, and it's frankly not even just the gas tax. There's also a tab fee increase and the sales tax on vehicles increase. So it was a number of taxes on transportation, not even just the gas tax.
Mm-hmm. So this is not something you would go for? You're pushing back? You're not voting for this?
You know, I've always said no, and you know, part of it is we have a surplus, $1.5 billion, and our budget reserves are at an all-time high. But also, I'm raising the warning flag that we have to watch our spending. We're up 39% in the last 8 years, and that's a huge number. And if we have an economic downturn and the spending numbers keep going up, we're going to have less taxes coming in, and they'll have to raise even more taxes.
Senator, do you have any concerns about the implications for corporations here in Minnesota, large and small? We want to attract more businesses to the state. We want to provide more jobs, and I imagine Governor Walz wants to do just that. But there would be some changes to corporate tax law under this, correct?
Yes, and I've always said if we're going to do tax conformity, we should do it in a way that we don't increase taxes on the business owner or the individual. And I haven't seen the details of the governor's plan, but it basically says that he wants to conform to the business tax or implications related to the federal bill, which would generate a significant tax increase on businesses. And Minnesota is already not considered a business-friendly state. We're already considered a high-tax state for businesses, and I'm concerned that we'll lose even more people or attract less people, and both would be bad for Minnesota.
Did you see anywhere, Senator, in the budget plan where there is room to compromise, where you agree on certain things and there is common ground?
Well, some of the areas that we talked about for focus, I think we'll find some agreement. Talked about resources for broadband across mm-hmm. America. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something I've been pushing. He talked about the need for local government aid and I think county program aid, and that's an area that we're open to. I didn't see it yet in his education bill, but he has been talking about an emphasis on vocational training, which I think is a great idea. So I'll look for as many areas that we can agree on, but I am very, very concerned about the overall spending. It looks like over $3 billion of tax increase, some to the general fund, continuing the provider tax, and then the issues related to gas tax and the taxes around that. And that, so big tax increase and a 9% spending increase, those are both red flags for me.
What about education? You know, he wants to make significant, that's his background, so he wants to make significant investments in education. We're talking to the tune of about $733 million for pre-K through high school, as well as $158 for higher education. Could you see where that would be a good investment?
Education is always a good investment. The one thing I want to look at and the one thing I'm going to ask for is there innovation as well? There are some areas of education, the racial disparity between different cultures, inner city in particular, we shouldn't be doing the same thing and expect different results. And so innovation would be, for example, opportunity scholarships where we allow students, if their school isn't meeting their needs, they have the opportunity to go somewhere else. Let's see if it works. So innovation is what I'm going to ask for almost every time we increase funding for education. And so, that's a high priority area for, I think, both sides of the aisle.
What about healthcare? We haven't talked about that yet. I mean, this is one of the reasons Governor Wahl says he wants to push for this tax increase to expand Minnesota care called One Care. How would you push back, or what's your alternative to his spending?
Well, both sides know that we have to lower the cost of health care. And so it doesn't, at some level, it doesn't matter whether it's public or private. It matters to me. But as far as driving down the cost, that's something we should work on. Minnesota Care, or whatever the new name is it for now, I've heard from hospitals and doctors and other folks that say, if you do that, we cannot survive. And doctors have said, we will not be in Minnesota. And the main reason is the reimbursement rate to them is significantly lower than what they need to survive. And so sounds nice, but unless you can lower the cost of that, and the only way you do that is either to raise taxes or do something else, it doesn't work. And so,
but that's what he's suggesting. He's suggesting raise taxes, use the gas tax money to help pay for that.
Well, I thought the gas tax was for roads and bridges.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? You know, the sick tax, if we're talking about that one, because that's scheduled to go away, that is for a lot of the public programs. And so the one thing he's not talking about that I want to have in the conversation is reform. And if the areas that we already know where there's abuse, there's no conversation about that. $100 million coming out of daycare fraud, let's talk about it. I mean, that's the part that I'm asking to include in this is how can we slow the growth of Health and Human Services spending? It's up, I believe, $1.5 billion. Even if we do nothing, it just keeps going up. And there are some good reasons, and I want to be aware of those. If we have an aging population and where those expenses are, I don't know that we can do much different. But I do believe we can slow the growth, and if we do that, then there's more resources for other things.
Senator Gazelka, since we have you here, going to just take a little bit of a pivot and ask you a question that is on our minds and on the minds of our listeners. Recently, Minnesota's Attorney General Keith Ellison filed suit, joining 15 other states, suing the president's use of emergency powers to build a border wall. In your estimation, as a state representative, as a citizen, as a Minnesotan from Nisswa, is there an emergency? And what is your reaction to Minnesota joining that suit?
Well, I did tweet out last night that I think it's a waste of his time. He should focus on Minnesota issues, and that's why I said that. But I support firming up the southern border. I think whether it's trafficking or drug-related issues or illegal immigration, I think that's a wise thing to do. I think once they settle that issue, then I think there can be a real conversation about what do we do with the folks that are here illegally now. And I don't think he was asking for big dollar amounts. I'm talking about the president now, but that is a federal issue. But because you asked, I'm giving you an answer. Mm-hmm. But I do think our Minnesota Attorney General, he's got plenty to focus on here in Minnesota, and I wish he'd put his effort there.
Senator Paul Gazelka, Senate Majority Leader, thank you so much for the time. Is there anything you want to add that we didn't ask you today?
Yeah, the one thing I think people should be aware of is I want them to be hopeful. You know, yes, we're on two sides of this. My side is saying, hey, make sure we watch spending and then fund the things that are important to us. But I meet with the governor regularly. I have conversations with the Democrat Speaker of the House. And we are committed to making sure that we have an open process, that we communicate, that we do it in a respectful manner. And I think Minnesotans will appreciate that. It's genuine from all of us, and that is my commitment, that as we work through this very difficult process, people should know that we're going to do it in a Minnesota way.
Senator, is there enough snow right now in the Nisswa area, the Brainerd Lakes area? Are snowmobilers happy this winter?
Well, you should answer this for me. I think it's going to be a record snowfall here. Is it a record snowfall in February for Nisswa?
It's very close. I think it will be, yeah. Not quite as much, but I think they'll set a record up there, too. So I'm happy for all the Minnesotans who love snow. Finally, our ship has come in, right?
Actually, I think I've had enough now. But
yeah, me too. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Senator Gazelka, thank you so much for joining us today, sir.
Yeah. Take care.
You
See,
too.
Even the senator has had enough.
Really?
He loves Minnesota.
Make it stop.
Thank you. Next. Right. We're done. Yes.
Yeah, we will earn our spring this year.
Interesting. I heard him say that he wants to, you know, slow the growth on some of these spending issues that he's that the governor wants to give access to, wants to increase. Interesting pushback. Yes, I understand the gas tax would increase road and bridge improvements, but there would be enough money, including with our surplus, that we would be able to fund other things as well, like the Minnesota One Care, the program that he was talking about, even the pre-K and the higher education programs. So
but that $1.5 billion, there's nothing to say that that's going to be there for long. The amount of, from what I understand, the mm-hmm. amount of tax revenue coming into the state coffers has slowed.
Mm-hmm.
And that $1.5 million surplus mm-hmm. is already coming down. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's money in the bank today, but there's nothing saying that we're going to have a $1.5 billion surplus a year or two from now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if the economy, if the larger economy goes into the tanks. So we'll see. My hunch, and Dan Cook, I don't mean to throw you under the bus. I'll do it gently. But mm-hmm. you said, I mean, this could just be a negotiating posture, right? Let's come out with 20 cents and then let's agree on 8 cents.
It feels like a moonshot to me. I mean, when you come out with 20 cents and then you want it indexed to the rate of inflation and you're going to increase fees and you're going to increase tabs.
Yep.
That's a huge ask, especially now. And the governor has said at his press conference today, look, I campaigned on an increase in the gas tax. This is a surprise to absolutely nobody that I'm asking for this. And he's right. He campaigned on that and he got elected. And that was part of the, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. platform he got elected on. But when the Senate Majority Leader, who has the ability to block this, has said all along that a gas tax increase is a non-starter, and you come out with 20 cents over 2 years and index to inflation and tax, it's got to be we're going to ask for a million, bajillion, kajillion dollars and then settle for, you know, $1,000.
But so, I also hope it goes the other way. I hope the Majority Leader says, okay, we're not giving you the million, bajillion, bajillion, but we're giving you X, because you have to give a little. That's how negotiations work. If he says non-starter, meaning non-starter, like – as long as you have anything that looks like a gas tax in there, we're gonna take our ball and go home.
And this is okay. Right. And this is what I'm anxious to see, because it becomes incumbent to a degree on the governor. And we don't know how he's never been an executive, you know, in terms of government before. We don't know how he's gonna do this. It becomes incumbent upon him to find something that Senator Gazelka wants bad enough that he's willing to do some horse trading here.
That's right.
And that's been the failure of government at the state and national level over the past decade or so, is that the executive who comes up with all of these ideas fails to figure out a way to get the legislature or the Congress on board with it. It was, to me, and this is just my opinion, it was President Obama's greatest fault, is that he failed to figure out a way to get, you know, to get them to the
table. What do you want? Let me give you a little bit of that.
Find something. Find a way to figure that out. And that is, to a degree, upon the incumbent. If you're going to come up with these ideas, then you got to figure out a way to get, you know, the other side on board with it, or at least with a portion of it.
I did hear the senator saying that he wants some investigation into childcare fraud. So that might be a little nugget if the governor was listening to this interview, and I hope that he was. Big fan of the show, I hear. He was a big fan of the show.
Huge fan.
So that might have been a little nugget, some little low-hanging fruit to say, okay, yeah, let's clean up that system if there is fraud and maybe get some money for the childcare that he's expecting to expand and other things.
Minnesota is a political petri dish. According to the New York Times, Minnesota may be the only place where lawmakers will be forced in the coming months to hash through both liberal and conservative political proposals to reach compromises. The state has become the lone state laboratory for testing whether bipartisanship, which has failed spectacularly on the federal level, can work in this moment. So can we accomplish at a state level what we can't do today at a federal level?
Just his closing comments. And remind me to ask every single guest we have, what did we not ask you? It's my favorite question, and sometimes we don't have time to get it in. But he said, the people of Minnesota should know that we're working together to make things happen, to make compromise. We will work hard for you.
To move the
dial.
We
will reach across the aisle. We will make – so that in him telling us that, trying to reassure us of that, is huge. And I think goes to show you that Minnesota probably can do it. And the federal government should take a page from our book.
We'll see. Yeah. All right, George, 350 Wicks and Jewelers time. Are you looking to sell old jewelry, watches, or collectibles? Visit Wicks and Jewelers in Bloomington today for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Dan Cook just wants to buy a pair of jeans without stepping in your dog's pee.
That's
so much to ask.
That's asking a lot.
Apparently, at Rosedale Center, it is. You might have to opt out.
Well, not for long.
Not for long.
Hey, Dan, freedom freedom applies to our dogs, to pets, the pets that we love, and where they want to pee. They can basically pee where they want
to
pee.
Well, they're going to, but that doesn't mean they should.
And they can't anymore, because at Rosedale Center in Roseville, there used to be a dog walking time, 9 to 11 in the morning. It got moved back from 8 to 10 in the morning so people could clean up after them before the mall opens on Sunday. Now Rosedale says, uh-uh, we cannot do this anymore. The mall is scrapping the parade of pooches on Sundays because too many pet owners were not cleaning up after their pets peed on the linoleum. And you know what, pet owners? This is on you. I don't blame Dan Cook for wanting to buy jeans and not step in your dog's pee. I don't think that's too much to ask.
I don't think it is either. It's like, perfectly reasonable.
Who are these dog owners?
Bring them up.
That are going, for a free, walk in the mall. And not cleaning up after their dogs. Who is this?
Why aren't the dogs wearing little doggy diapers?
Okay,
See, there's an entrepreneurial opportunity here for doggy diapers.
It's everything is wrong about that.
I'm gonna work on that.
We need to investigate this more, and we'll do so in the 5 o'clock hour. But clean up after your dog and get off my lawn. No, not really. Yeah. When we return, an American woman left to join ISIS. Now she wants to come home. Should we let her back? I say, Let's talk after the news.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.